Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Living Arts of Tulsa presents a new exhibit designed to bridge gaps in our community and in our artistic communities as well. Noir, or Black, is a collaboration with Oklahoma City artist Nathan Lee, who also served as curator. Features work by Oklahoma African-American artists with work exploring identity, an ever-changing part of the long road from slavery and separation to equality and inclusion. The exhibit features 14 artists from around the state exploring contemporary identity with well-known artists like Skip Hill and Suzanne Thomas to a generation of emerging artists. In speaking with Living Arts Director Steve Liggett, one of the desired outcomes of this show is to bring new audiences to these artists and their work at Living Arts, but also to bring new audiences to Living Arts and hopefully to bridge a few divides. Nathan Lee is the curator of Noir and my guest today. He's a visual artist, a filmmaker, co-producer of Transcend, and the director of Inclusion in Art, which is an organization in Oklahoma City devoted to advancing racial and cultural diversity in Oklahoma's visual arts community. Noir opens today at Living Arts with a pre-show talk at 5:45. The opening is a part of First Friday in the Brady District from 6 to 9, and a poetry reading by Candace Liger at 9 o'clock. Nathan Lee, welcome to Studio Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Tell us a little bit about how this exhibit came about, Noir, featuring some really wonderful Oklahoma African-American artists.
Well, it's actually a result of an ongoing partnership that we've had with Living Arts Tulsa. And we did an exhibition a couple of years back called Transcend, and it went off really well. And Steve Liggett, a friend of mine and director at Living Arts, had an idea to do a show. And I was asked to be the curator. So I fleshed out a concept, and over several months, we came up with this idea for Noir.
Now, in addition to being an artist yourself, you also lead a group really devoted to, you know, it's a tough road for any artist in Oklahoma, but I would think it's even more difficult for people of color, and your organization, Inclusion in Art, is really designed to give a leg up to artists of color in the state. Can you maybe speak to what the organization's about and that difficulty in being an artist of color in Oklahoma?
Well, Inclusion in Art was created to help cultivate more racial diversity, cultural diversity in Oklahoma's art community. And just to let everybody know, I mean, it's not a mystery. We have one of the most accepting art communities. The problem was perception. Not a lot of minority artists were participating in the mainstream, and that wasn't because they were not welcome. It was because there were preconceived ideas. You know, if you don't see a lot of black artists, then there can be assumptions. And those assumptions, while not necessarily correct, they made divides. And at the same time, you have organizations that wanted to do outreach and reach a more diverse group of artists, and they were not getting their information to the media outlets that were in minority communities. So Inclusion in Art is meant to be a bridge between the artists, to educate the artists on the opportunities available to them, and to let them know that Oklahoma's mainstream arts community is very embracing, and it wants more diversity, and we're making it easier for organizations to get information about what they offer to artists. And also, we have to grow our patron pool to let potential patrons who haven't necessarily gone to galleries, gone to museums, know that there is something there that is diverse, and more than often enough, it relates to them culturally.
Yeah. How deep is that perceptual divide?
Well, I can tell you, as an individual that came in with a preconceived idea, you know, in society, we're growing, we're getting better. The idea of racism not only has permeated, like, our social structure, our political structure to some degree, but also our creative community as well. And I think it bled over. When I approached the arts community, a family member told me that I should pursue my endeavors as an artist. I was very apprehensive, and initially, because I didn't see any other African-American artists, I assumed that the road was going to be tougher for me. And after visiting with and talking with other artists, I found out that their ideas, largely, not all of them, but largely, were the same ideas that I had. So I can only imagine how many artists didn't take that step forward to see actually what was going on, and how many were in the same situation I was in.
Well, I think the one thing you did that you have in common with all artists of color, of any color, is that it is kind of tough to be an artist in Oklahoma. I mean, it's there are these organizations that are trying to nurture artists, but they're fairly small and they're fairly smally funded. I mean, hopefully it's changing for the better, but it's always been a tough road to be an artist in Oklahoma.
Oh, it is. I mean, in other states, too.
Yeah.
It's just a difficult road to travel. It's a necessary one for Oklahoma. If we don't support our arts and culture here, then others won't want to call Oklahoma home. And that growth, it has to be inclusive of the creative community, all of the creative community of Oklahoma.
Well, let's talk a little bit about Noir. It's a new exhibit opening at Living Arts of Tulsa, featuring Oklahoma African-American artists. Now, inclusion in art sounds like it's a pretty colorblind organization, but it's devoted to all people of color, as well as, I would assume, whites as well, to bridge gaps and to, again, put artists in touch with galleries, and more importantly, getting patrons involved with galleries who might buy the work but feel like maybe the places where the work is exhibited is basically not catering to them.
Well, there's several challenges that we are looking at. Knocking all those walls down will actually make a very visible playing field. And I believe that our efforts are, I'd like to say that a lot of stuff has been changing and happening, and I see different organizations forming, you know, after seeing some of the things that we were doing. And I think we're all moving into the same direction. And let me go back to our organization. We do serve all artists, particularly minority artists, but we're not discriminatory as far as the inclusion of white artists. We've had shows in the past, such as Skin, which invited artists to look at racism from different perspectives. So I think we're doing great things as far as being a multicultural arts organization.
Well, let's talk a little bit about Noir and some of the artists that are part of this. When I went into the gallery, the first artist that caught my eye was a series of photorealistic portraits by Tim Hearn. It's a series called Lost. These are just gorgeous, gorgeous little drawing portraits. Tell us a little about Tim Hearn.
Tim Hearn is a young African-American artist he's extraordinarily talented. If we don't really have to worry about our next generation of upcoming artists with artists like Tim Hearn. He's exhibited with us before, and he's young. He's in his 20s. His work is spectacular. His series, Lost, is very intriguing, and it leaves a lot up to the viewer to determine what Lost means, because some of his figures are not African-American, and others are African-American. But what they have in common is the notion and idea of being lost. Now, is lost, is he dealing with it as an emotion, or is he dealing with it on a case per case? If you say the word lost in the connotation of African America, the 400-year history denotes that, yes, we had to rediscover ourselves. We had a feeling of being lost, of being displaced. But as a human being, other people feel lost as well. And that emotion, when I see his work, that emotion is captured, and the reasons behind are stripped away, and the feeling of the word lost and the concept of lost is what unites those pieces.
Yeah, I was really struck by the eyes of the people sitting for the portraits. The eyes, they're telling really strong stories, and they're ambiguous stories, but I think that was the focus point for every one of these beautiful, beautiful portraits.
And the uncertainty was unifying in those eyes. It didn't matter if the portraits were black, white, Latino. The eyes united the entire series. It was very human, and it registered very strong emotions. Each one of those pieces registered a strong emotion that had to do with a kind of uncertainty.
Let's talk a little bit about another artist, which I was totally unfamiliar with, Tiffany McKnight. She did these portraits where she's taking very popular fashion model images and creating in black and white, and then creating this almost retro psychedelic colorful imagery flowing out of these fashion models. She calls it the multiformity of beauty, and there's about six in the series. These are really interesting little portraits, too.
Well, Tiffany is an interesting person as an artist. I had the pleasure of meeting her while curating and looking for artists for noir. And I think what makes her interesting as a person and as an artist is the fact that her work is, it's a celebration of beauty. It's not necessarily a celebration, even though the subjects are black. Her work is not necessarily just a celebration of black beauty. It's a celebration of human beauty. And her ability to make these beautiful women that are very diverse in how they look, it kind of shows that she's moving towards, it's fine to be an African-American. I want to be a human being, and I'm beautiful in my own right. The concept of just being, without big statements, without a strong social commentary, is just as important. I think it's really important for human beings to feel like they don't have to assert themselves because of some kind of deficiency. They just have the ability to be what they are and express the beauty that they have within and exteriorly.
My guest today is Nathan Lee, an artist, a director of inclusion in art, and the curator for Living Arts of Tulsa's exhibit Noir, an exhibit featuring Oklahoma African-American artists, which is open and running through July 11th. And he joins us today on Studio Tulsa. Well, another artist, this artist, I've heard this name in conjunction with Oklahoma Art for a while, Skip Hill. He did a number of these mixed media pieces, as well as two-dimensional pieces that are sort of based on the sort of three-dimensional mixed media pieces. They're a series of head portraits, but they're tributes to the Kings of the Court, 1 and 2, Leroy, which I assume, based on the text that's a part of this multimedia piece, I assume it's referring to a Mary Baraka or Leroy Jones, and mm-hmm. La Tête Noire. Tell us a little bit about these pieces.
Skip Hill is a very interesting artist, and he's one of the best-known artists in Oklahoma, and he definitely is the most celebrated African-American artist in Oklahoma. Skip takes a lot of pop culture sensibilities, and he puts them on a frame that is decidedly African-American, but if you read certain things, you have to look at his paintings, and you have to read his paintings. What a lot of people don't know about Skip's work is that although it's definitely African-American as far as the features and the sensibilities of what the figures look like, their skin is, it's an amalgam of all these different collage elements. And some of the elements are African-American in nature. Some of them are Dutch in nature. A lot of them are Asian in nature. And his art is very much a reflection of who he is. He speaks Dutch fluently. He lived in Asia for a while, so his art, it says, I have a strong African-American base, but I am influenced, and I have, you know, gotten things from other cultures as well. So I think those pieces that are in the show, if you look at them and inspect them closely, you see several things going on inside of this African-American frame.
In the case of Leroy, I saw some beat poetry that's, again, it's got some of it's mostly covered up and obscured from paint, mm-hmm. but you can see some beat poetry. You can see all sorts of visual writing that's a part of this mixed media piece. And then again, the features of the actual piece looks very African. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, the traditional African sort of three-dimensional sculptural forms of Africa, what you would think of African art.
Yes.
And the Kings of the Courts, you know, that's basketball, but there's also this lovely playing card sort of dynamic that's a part of that, too.
Yeah, Skip is I don't think any experience is... Rich, I've never seen an artist like Skip where I think anything that he sees, anything that he reads could become a part of his painting. He doesn't take anything visual for granted, which is really neat because I have no idea what he's going to do. And all of the pieces... I have two of his pieces right now, and I'm always reading them. You know, I look at them, and they're beautiful, but I always find something, some other little nuance in them. And I think that's a reflection of where I would love to see African America as a whole. We know who we are, and Skip's art, I'm using his work as a metaphor for that. We know who we are. And we are now, we're so sure of who we are, we're able to accept the contributions of others without feeling that anything is going to be taken or stolen from us. And that's personally what I see in Skip Hill's work.
I mentioned the Kings of Court has this imagery of the playing card of the king in the deck, and you actually use playing cards in your pieces that are in the show. It's the hand that we are dealt, one and two. These two very iconic images of black women reclining, and they almost have, they go back to almost like Matisse and Jawlensky of these sort of reclining women, but in this case, African-American women. And then these playing cards that are scattered throughout the pictures, and they're very beautiful pieces.
Well, and the cards themselves are symbolic. We're still in a day and age where you essentially have to play the hand that you're dealt. And I think as a black person, and it's unfortunate that any race cards are played. Some are played in, you know, defensively. Some are played offensively. And having to use race in certain situations, I don't even want to say use, but having to let others remember certain things about race to move forward with progress, it's an unfortunate thing, but it's still a necessary thing. I don't look at noir as a black card per se, but I do look at it as a hand that has to be played in order for there to be some progress made as far as relations. And especially in Tulsa, I have a deep interest in noir being a unifying force for Tulsa as well, because of the history that surrounds it. And cards are always played, anger cards, guilt cards. And we've got to get to a point to where we just lay all of our cards on the table and not play them at times that are not necessarily convenient, but times that are beneficial to one side and not beneficial to the entire whole. We've got to get to the point to where we lay everything on the table and we begin honest dialogue, and that's when we can put all cards away.
The name of the show is Noir, an exhibit featuring Oklahoma African-American artists. My guest today is the curator for the exhibit, also one of the participating artists, Nathan Lee. He's also the director of inclusion in art. Living Arts presents Noir through July 11th as we talk about some of the art that's a part of it. One of the artists that had a number of pieces in this is Gay Passley, a photographer. And what's really interesting about her work is some are haunting, some are quite funny, by turn haunting and funny, and sometimes both at the same time. And I'm thinking of a couple of pieces here. One was The Help, which sort of reversed the traditional roles with the white maid and the black lady sitting in a chair in a southern outdoor setting, much like the book The Help and the film. And then The Dream, which is at one point very funny on first glance, and then it makes you think. It shows a elderly black man asleep in a lawn chair. Next to him is another lawn chair in which a portrait of Obama on a T-shirt is placed in the chair. And I found her work really thought-provoking.
I had talked to Gay Paisley about the show, and I told her the concept of noir, you know, being black as it exists now, African America as it exists at this particular moment, and not so much in a complete historic context, but as a starting point for the history that we're about to make as African Americans. And she came to me with this series, and it completely blew me away because it is current, but she managed to cover every age spectrum. She, especially with those two pieces, the elderly gentleman looking at it. My mother assumed that we would never have a president of color. However, you know, there's the historic context to it, and there's also the political context to it. There's still a lot of challenges and a lot of things that people thought were going to change because we had an African-American president. But as we were finding out, color really doesn't change those challenges or the magnitude of what has to be repaired.
Mm-hmm.
So while the gentleman was asleep, and the T-shirt was, you know, and it looked kind of funny. For me, it said something completely different.
Yeah. No, I'd say it's funny at first glance, and then you think about it, and then the message really comes through, which that's the importance of good art. There's also another piece that she has. It features this elderly black woman, and it's a Madonna piece, and mm-hmm. Holding a young child. And you know, at first I looked at that and I go, oh, we're talking about multi-generational child raising and the fact that a lot of times the parents are absent and grandparents are raising kids, basically.
And that's become all too prevalent. So, you know, those subtle, to me, the best art is art where there is a story, even if you don't see it at first. There's a narrative to it. And that particular piece, I work with, continue to work with young parents and the children of quote-unquote parents. When I see their parents, a lot of times they are the elderly grandparents. You know, they are the ones who have taken up a role. They've been removed from the role of grandparent, like you were saying, and placed in this role. And family structure has changed completely. So many things can be said about that piece by Gay Paisley on a lot of levels, as far as what the traditional family even looks like, especially in African America right now.
Another artist that's featured that I believe teaches in the Oklahoma City area is Suzanne Thomas, and she has a couple of very vertical paintings that are a part of it, wonderfully made. Talk about her work a little bit.
Suzanne Thomas's work has always been steeped in iconic images of strong women, and she's done shows with us in the past. But I think that these particular pieces, they are. They're like a continuation of what she's done. They're a homage to inner strength of black women. And she said something in Transcend, a documentary that she was in that we were a part of. She said, black women have been fighting. I can't remember the exact quote, but the end of that was, and now we're fighting for the right to be tired. We're fighting for the right to not have to, you know, be above and beyond. And I think Wonderfully Made kind of represents a person who has gone through that particular fire and has come out on the other side and has earned the right to say, I've accomplished, I've overcome, and it's safe to say I'm tired. I'm not quitting, but I'm tired, and I'm looking back on everything that has made me this strong, wonderfully made person that I am.
It was interesting. By contrast, you have a very different look of the strong black woman with Jalissa Haggins. She has a four pictures of what I'd call strong black women. One is a still of Hattie McDaniel with this strong black woman look in Gone with the Wind. And of course, the still captures this sort of look. And then three, some are photoshopped, but at a woman at the head of a boardroom. And it's a really interesting set of pictures. It's called Sister Soul.
Yes. She did something really interesting. Because, you know, when I spoke with each of these artists in lengthy conversations about noir and the concept, while she used historic pictures, it led up to all four of those images lead up to a now at this point. And while there was a historical context, especially with the figure of the nanny from Gone with the Wind and things like that, it led back to a certain point. It showed contrast between a history and a now. The images never stayed in a history. They move forward to a now. I personally like her pieces because she did use herself as a subject, and with, visually she is a very strong-featured African-American woman. And in society, a lot of times the main lead, the main actress, the main is usually a person with more aquiline features, and she juxtaposed herself in there and exuded her own kind of beauty. And it was not a mainstream beauty. And I like her piece for several different reasons. She was Jalissa in each one of those pictures. In each one of those moments of time, she was Jalissa, and she was consistent as far as, you know, the black figure that was the subject that was photoshopped and superimposed into each picture.
Yeah, it's really interesting. One last artist to talk about, and this is Elliot Robbins, because he has these two sculptural pieces called Constructed Ephemera. In many ways, he's reappropriating images that were at some point dismissive, I think, of African Americans. This and I don't know the name of this little figure that he uses in the two sculptures. Can you help me out with that?
You know, the figure is very, and he never told me the name of the figure, but he was very, he's very reminiscent of Eliot himself. Mm-hmm. The figure looks like Eliot, and the actual story behind that, that's probably one of the most interesting stories of noir, because I had never considered the idea that he kind of placed before me. That young man is always kind of dressed like Mickey Mouse. He has the same red shirt on, the same...
Right.
Well, in the history of Disney, there's never been... You know, you look at progress in all these different places. I never would have thought to look at questions being asked in the realm of animation. There has never been a male black lead in a Disney film. Now, we've had an African-American black lead finally in a film, but the African-American male was discarded as far as being a leading character. Even when we move into the new millennium and we see more images and people of color from the Disney, Pixar, the whole animated, as far as subject matter, but the African-American man continues to be non-existent there. So Eliot created this character, and he did. He stripped away all of the, you know, the pizzazz and the gimmicks that other characters had, and he was simply just a man.
Yeah.
And where is that man's place in this world of animation? And there's parallels, you know, to that as far as, you know, African American men being omitted on several fronts. How did this happen? He simply chose an area that was high, that looks extremely innocent. I think Mickey Mouse, I think Donald Duck.
Right. Yeah.
The biggest question I ever had in Disney was, you know, why can, you know, Goofy talk but Pluto can't? And because of Eliot, I'm now, you know, I was looking, I was like, you know, you have a point. When an artist tells me something, I like to research who they are and what their, you know, what their ideas are, and it fascinated me so much. And this is still prevalent today. Nothing has changed in that area.
Yeah.
And it's an observation that he had.
Well, there's certainly a lot of food for thought in noir. Congratulations on a really interesting show. The name of it is Noir. It opens today and runs through July 11th. Nathan, thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Rich.
Oklahoma City-based artist, filmmaker, and the director of inclusion in art, Nathan Lee, who is the curator for the Living Arts of Tulsa show Noir, which opens today at Living Arts with a pre-show talk at 5:45, an opening from 6 to 9 as part of the First Friday Art Crawl in the Brady District, and a poetry reading by Candace Liger at 9 o'clock. Noir continues on display through July 11th. For gallery hours and information, visit livingarts.org. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. The views of our guests and commentators are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of KWGS or its licensee, the University of Tulsa. If you missed one of our recent programs, they're available online to listen to on demand anytime at publicradiotulsa.org. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.